Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumaticon. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and I am very excited this morning about the fellowship that you and I get to share. And the word is very significant for all believing ones because it means joint participation in the things of Christ. And so we meet here for fellowship, for healing, for rejoicing, for encouragement, that we might run this spiritual race through the power of the Spirit of God. This is a race of endurance. And we are all called to be long-distance runners. God has never told us that this race would be easy, but that it would be worth it. And so when we get that understanding that this race was never told, we are never told that this race would be easy, but that it would be worth it, that brings about a new or different mindset. And so this is the mindset that the writer of the book of Hebrews wanted those believers to grasp, to see with a powerful grip so that they might understand the compelling significance of their calling. They were in danger of falling away because of persecution. And again, the Pauline definition of persecution means to be hunted down as wild animals, because in the book of Acts, Paul did that very thing to the believing community before he met the living Christ on the road to Damascus. And the statement was put to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Words that were forever branded upon the neurons of Saul, who became the formidable Apostle Paul. And so this message that we share and that has changed our lives is the message that those of the first century shared. And so they were in danger of falling away from this precious faith. And so I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 35, which reads, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." The preposition by there, that's used to modify the noun faith is ek, and it means out from. So it should read the just or the justified ones shall live out from faith. But if any draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Believers had undergone severe persecution because of their commitment to Christ. The writer to the Hebrews further states, beginning, I'm going to read verse 32 of chapter 10 now, and he writes, "The call to remember the former day, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction, a great fight of affliction. Partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the confiscation or the spoiling of your material possessions, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance." And then he begins in verse 35 to state, "Cast not away therefore your confidence," or literally freedom in speaking. Freedom in speaking. And so persecution that had come, the persecution that had come into their lives had tempted them to cower and to no longer maintain a bold witness for their faith. Now, I want to give some details at verse 32 of chapter 10 of Hebrews. And so he said, the writer states, "But call to remember the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured." And so here the word endured is an aorist indicative active, which is a statement of fact, active voice. And the aorist indicates in the Greek text that at a point in time this event took place. So you endured. And the word endure here means to persevere under misfortune and trials. It means to hold fast to one's faith in Christ. So you endure a great fight of affliction. And this is an extraordinary term that is also common to those who are serious about Christ. This word points to those who have put away the pseudo-religious facade. They have no more to do with that. The pseudo-religious facade, the glad-handing, is over or was never a part of their demeanor. They had given up the pious facade and had a living relationship with the living Christ. And so the word afflictions here means whatever befalls one. It bespeaks calamity. It bespeaks mishap, evil, suffering. It denotes a feeling of the mind, emotion, passion. And so it is a very powerful word. These things were done to these believers in order to denude or expose, to trivialize their face. It was done to molest their confidence in Christ so that they would renounce or give up their faith. And so the writer to the book of Hebrews states in chapter 13 that this particular document, in chapter 13, verse 22, states that this document that he has written is called a word of exhortation. Hebrews 13, 22 reads, "And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in few words." And so the Greek here for exhortation is paraklesis. And it means the act of calling toward or hither to help. It denotes encouragement. And so it also means to build up, to make confident. Remember, the Word of God is alive and powerful. And so they needed this reassuring word from God. In chapter 10, verse 33, we read, whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions. And there is that word afflictions again. And so partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, in other words, it means to bring upon the stage to expose to contempt, both by reproaches, by being reviled, and also, again, the word afflictions here means to oppress. It means distress or pressure. And so these believers were being paraded about, and their faith was attacked in such a way, and their lives were attacked in such a way as to bring contempt upon themselves. And so there was great pressure brought to bear upon them. And so the book of Hebrews contains a timely message and a timeless message for us. And so it is able to transcend the centuries, and we understand its relevance for us and our day. Because we are called upon to participate in this race of spiritual endurance, spiritual trial. Verse 33, once again, partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. For you had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling or the plundering or robbery of your possessions, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. So, once again, verse 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. And then the writer moves into chapter 11, in which he discusses faith. And he brings before the believing ones the heroes of faith and how God used them and led them. They too faced trial and contempt. And so in chapter 11, verse 1, we read, "Now faith," or pistis, which is the Greek word for faith, and pistis is a noun of action. It is a noun of action. Now pistis is the substance of things hoped for. Hope in the New Testament means confident expectation toward the future. The evidence of things not seen. So this is a legal term. The evidence of things not seen. So through this discussion of faith and what it meant to those who were so persuaded, because the foundation of the word faith in the New Testament, patho, means to persuade. They were persuaded. Their minds were moved. Their wills were motivated to trust and rely exclusively upon thus saith the Lord. All doctrine, all the biblical documents are designed to be carefully and painstakingly taught, not preached. Preaching is reserved for the dissemination of the euangelion, that is, the gospel. Preaching is exclusively for the dissemination of the gospel message. Teaching, however, didasco, is for those who have come to believe or who are now persuaded. Those who are now in the faith. Didasco is exclusively a reserve, has to do with the shaping of the will of the pupil. And so the didaskalos is the teacher, the one who trains the pupil in doctrine, or the student in doctrine, so that his spirit, the word of God goes into his mind as gnosis, and when his spirit, the spirit of the individual, believes the doctrine that he has received, through his spirit it becomes epignosis, or complete knowledge, a knowledge in which one has full participation in the object of his knowledge. That is, it is, or some people have described it as super knowledge. So gnosis is the intellectual comprehension of doctrines. Epignosis is the spiritual awareness that comes when I believe by faith the teaching that I have received. My life is transformed the more I believe the Word of God, the more I assimilate the Word of God. My life is changed thereby. I am changed thereby. And so the writer to the book of Hebrews understands how the teaching process works. And so he wants those who are under this fantastic pressure to get the truth and to hold on to it. Hebrews 13:22, suffer the word of exhortation, or the paraclesis. This word is there to comfort, to encourage, to build up, to stabilize the soul. Truth stabilizes the soul. God desires truth in the inward parts. And so just think about the severity of their persecution. Think about what they would need in order not merely to survive. Doctrine is not given us so that we would merely survive, but that we may thrive. Doctrine provides spiritual resilience. so that when we go through these tests, when we face these tests of faith, we will receive the blessing of spiritual endurance and what that means for our lives. We become substantial persons. We become compelling. Our witness is sharpened. And we grow thereby because we are being nurtured by the truth, the wonderful truth of God's word. And so the heroes of faith are given to us in chapter 11. And then in chapter 11, verse 6, we read the famous verse, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So you go from chapter 11 to chapter 12, in chapter 12, verse 1, which reads, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking away unto Jesus," or Jesus, "the author, originator, and completer," or perfecter, "of our faith." Now, why should we look to him? Well, after semicolon, we have who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, very significant, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction or opposition of hamartoloi, sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." That is, they have not murdered you, you're not losing your lives, but they make fun of you, they mock you, they confiscate your material wealth. "But you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation," the word here again is paraklesios, "which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, Cleos, despise not thou the chastening or the paedias of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." So now we move into another doctrine. But I want you to see the wealth of the doctrine that is given to us in chapter 12 about who we are and whose we are. When I think I have come to understand the word Christianos, the more I study the scriptures, I realize that what a Christianos is eludes me. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, "Beloved, we know not what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God or the children of God. And we know not what we shall be when he shall appear, But we know that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then John goes on. He states that if we really have this living hope in our hearts, he says in verse 3, John, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, and every man or woman that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. And so this race that should be pivotal in our lives, this race, first of all, calls upon us to get clean. Hebrews 12:1, let us lay aside every weight that is a mass that represents an encumbrance so that we cannot have freedom of movement. God wants us to be free. God wants us to live brand new. And as we continue in our study of this passage, we shall receive more insight. God bless you today. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. You have a wonderful day.